We going? All right, this is Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. We have a 10:30 agenda item, and it's meeting with Highway District 4 for presentation on current and future road work in Canyon County. All right. Good morning.
Morning, Chair, Commission. Thanks so much for having us here.
You can address us sitting down. That'll be great for us. It makes us, you can address us sitting down. Otherwise, Commissioner Brooks always gets nervous with somebody.
Well, I get nervous if I'm not.
If you're, then hey, whatever makes you comfortable, we're game.
Okay, thank you so much. As I mentioned, Commission, so I have with me Michael Case. He is a new district engineer for Highway District 4. Chris Hopper is retiring, not next month, but the month after. And so we're lucky enough to get Michael in about a year ago. And so he's been working for the district for a year now. And at the last two meetings ago, he was actually officially brought in as a district engineer.
Okay.
Chris is still in that position, but he's helping Mike to transition into his new spot. So any questions you have going forward, it'll probably be either me or Michael that would answer those for you. So please, as always, if there's any people in the district that ask you questions about our district and you don't know the answer, get a hold of us and I'll either give you the answer or you can give us the phone number and we can respond back to them. But please do that. We're more than happy. We deal with calls, as you know, all day long on different things, and we want to answer that. But as I said, if you want to answer to those people as well, we'll explain to you what it is. You can answer back to them also.
Okay.
Totally your choice. Anyways, I'll start off. City of Middleton, this is their southern bypass route. So this is from their functional classification map. HD4 is in full support of that southern bypass route going around the city. Kind of, it's exactly the same as how Eagles is, you know, and so that we hope that actually happens. Also, if you have any questions, please ask them.
Mr. Chairman, I got one for you just on this one. Is this one even possible now because of the development in the area?
It is still possible, correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
It's doable.
Yeah. They met with a developer after the last Pelham meeting and talked with the developer about that, this developing in that area. And yeah, it is still fully, fully functional here. Yeah. It is, Commissioner, just a line on paper, as you know, so it may vary a little bit.
Sure.
But it is still, yeah.
Yeah, I have a question, Chairman. And so how does that follow or deviate from the Sawtooth roadway that's in there? Is that the area we're talking about?
Yeah, correct. So it goes, actually on here. Sawtooth is actually this road that goes here down below. So that would still stay in place, and the roundabout would still stay in place. It's actually to the north of that. And then Cemetery, where it comes down and then transitions, it'll go through that road, as you can see there.
So part of that's bare ground in there that was slated for an urban renewal or some type of a Crane Creek Plaza. That's going away, is what you're saying?
I don't know that stuff is going away, but it will border on that road.
I see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. Oh, there it is. There it is. Thank you.
Yeah, should pop up on there.
Yeah, perfect. So the next one that's mentioning is Middleton Bridge expansion. So because of the amount of traffic on Middleton Road, within the next few years, we're actually going to have to expand the Boise River Bridge. And so in this area here, of course, where the Middleton goes over that bridge, we're looking at a few different options. We have a consultant on board. And so as we get further along with that, all is well, come into the commission and let them know, you know, kind of once we have probably schematic plans so that you can see better what the plans are. But I just want to make you aware of that in case anyone asks. That's one of our heaviest traveled roads in the district, Middleton Road. And of course, being right close to the city of Middleton, That gets a ton of traffic, as you can imagine, so.
Is there room to build a parallel bridge right beside it, or what are your plans? Do you know that?
Actually, Michael can speak a little better on this because he's actually leading that, so I'll let Michael speak.
Yeah, so what we currently have is we have a feasibility study completed. The preferred option is to add on just two more lanes on the west-hand side, western side of that bridge, retain the existing structure, and it limits the amount of right-of-way we have to purchase. It limits environmental impacts to the river because we're going over 15 Mile Creek with one structure and the Boise River with the other.
Correct.
It keeps the geometry better with the bridge. And we're able to tie in a four-lane roadway section at the roundabout at Sawtooth and extends up to basically rules.
Okay.
And then tie into the existing section with Middleton Road that will be four lanes.
Okay.
Currently, that feasibility study is with the city of Middleton. They're reviewing it, and they sent it on to their planning person and their city engineer to see if there's any comments that they had. Once we receive those comments, we'll get those back to the engineering firm that provided the study, and they'll finalize and stamp it.
Is a bridge three, five, seven? What is a ballpark?
It'll be four lanes, four travel lanes.
Years of funding.
Yeah. Oh, I have no idea. Not in my lifetime. Yeah. So bridges take a while.
Yeah.
I'll answer a little bit better of that. As far as any major work like that, we will have to go for like a federal grant probably for the construction. There's no way that our district or the city of Milton even combined could pay for something like that. You're probably talking about $40 million in that price range. So, you know, it's past it's within our technical ability, but feasibility or the
construction. Yeah, financial. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is impact fee eligible.
Okay. All right.
So that could help out as long with federal aid money.
Okay.
And Chairman, having said that, that's not yet been made a proposal to collect impact fees for that project, right?
So the impact fees are already being collected in that area. That's called the Mid-Star area.
Okay.
I'll be going over that a little
okay.
bit later. But yeah, we are actually collecting impact fees in that area.
Okay, and that could be used toward the $40 million project?
Correct.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
It's up there.
Oh, thank you. So the next one, this is a pretty busy slide, and you can probably take a look at what I've given you as well in the handout. So basically, it shows the last kind of 5 years of construction in Canyon County in our district. As you can see, our boundary is all within the white and then inside of there. I've just tried to show some of the major intersection projects that we've done, bridges that we've put in. We're currently building two roundabouts right now, one at Middleton and Linden and one at Farmway and Eustick. So you'll see those in the red with the round. And so anyways, it's just to kind of show you the amount of work that the highway district, you know, is doing in Canyon County in our area. Now, this as well does not include a lot of the maintenance work that we do. We do tree trimming, fixing potholes, shoulder work, spraying weeds. We have a vast amount of signs out there. I think what are we up to now?
And signs?
Yeah.
Good Lord, too many.
7,000 signs or something like that in the district. So, so just know, you know, that these are just specific improvement projects that we're doing. As well, of course, we do about approximately 50 miles of chip seal every year, and that's not included on here. We try and do a rotation every 7 years. We're rechipping. So we have about 300 miles in the district. And so, as I said, it's right around 50 miles that we do. So if you do 50 times 30, that's 350, you know, but that's an approximate number.
Is the crude price going clear on a site right now, is that going to significantly hamper your ability, or are you under long-term contracts?
So we're not under a long-term contract. However, we did our contract in February, thank goodness. So it will not affect our price at all. And in fact, our price on is exactly the same as last year that we did for chipping. So, yeah.
Wow.
Well done. Very lucky. I hate anyone that didn't sign a contract earlier this spring because they will be in trouble. Yeah.
Well, that's not lucky. You were intentional, and thank you for saving the taxpayers of money.
For the past 15 years, the state puts out a oil price bid.
Yeah.
Power County usually does it, and we all piggyback off of Power County. So usually it hasn't changed much just because of that structure.
But it's still leadership and your board of directors that you have to make them aware that you have to move on this and secure it. So well done.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. I point back to when COVID first started. So Ada County, every year, as I said, we do about 50 miles. They do about 500 miles.
Mm.
They did not do 1 year of chip sealing. So there is no functional way that they could ever catch up with that, as you can imagine, with the amount of roads they have. So as you say, we really push hard on that because chipping is the best, cheapest way to keep our roads in the best shape. Just being honest with you. And as I said, if you can keep doing it every 7 years, that's just awesome. So what we do with our roads is we build a brand new mat. The very first year after it's built, we chip that next summer. Then we chip 7 years after that, 7 years after that. Then at the 20th year, we look at the road, and typically what we'll do is we'll do an overlay on that road. So we'll do 2 or 3 inch a pavement overlay. Then again, we'll chip it that next year after the overlay, another 7 years later. Then around the 40th year is when we'll actually rebuild that whole road and start over again. So that's kind of our technique with the district to keep our roads in the best shape as we can. Obviously, you know, those aren't hard and fixed numbers, but they're pretty good and they've worked good. I'm very proud of the district that we have, and especially of the people that have been there before me, because I know when I drive out of our district.
It doesn't matter.
I'm serious. It does not matter which way I go, north, south, east, or west. I can tell when I've crossed the line, because those roads are not in as good a shape. And as I said, this is not me. This is all the pre-work that years and years of directors and the highway district workers have done in this area. Also, too, I have to mention is that it's a double-edged sword. So we're in the heaviest area as far as growth. However, we do have those taxes to be able to pay for that stuff, right? When you get into especially Golden Gate, Notice Parma, you'll see the roads deteriorating more out there, but they don't have the money as well. They don't have that tax base to be able to spend that money. So yes, they're spending money the best they can, but you know, without having that tax base, it's really hard. So I'm gonna, you know, preface all those things with those caveats. But in this area, as I said, I'm very proud of the work previously, and I'm very proud of this map showing the amount of work. You can see over 5 years, you know, how many roads that we've actually improved and bridges. And this doesn't include, we have some of the pipes on there, but there are literally hundreds of pipes that we've replaced. So as I said, I'm pretty proud.
Many of the big ones are a significant potential failure if they aren't taken care of.
Yep, correct, Commissioner, yeah.
Wow, well, your district's road quality testifies to your operation, and kudos to you.
Thank you. This next slide, so we're switching over a little bit. This is Highway 44, and we're entering into agreement with ITD on this road. As you may or may not know, it's a state highway, so it's actually the control of it is by ITD. We control every road that comes up and goes down, goes both north and south. So the five intersections that we're looking at here are Kaneda, Blessinger, Kingsbury, Lansing, and Duff. There are, on three of those intersections, Kaneda, Blessinger, and Kingsbury, there currently are subdivisions which before they're allowed to have their first CFO, they must have a signal in. So again, that's Kingsbury, Blessinger, and Kaneda. Lansing does not have a current one there, but Duff does. It doesn't have the same thing. There is a developer there that's going to be paying for a certain portion of that. So at Kingsbury, the private developer has already started with signalization plans there, and but the intent is for the highway district, we're going to start at Duff, and we I currently have a contract on my desk to sign for that one. So just know that over the next few years, these five intersections are going to be are going to have those lights installed. This will be exactly the same as, I don't know if you remember back about 7 or 8 years ago on Highway 55, there was a safety project that was done down there, and they put in all those lights from Farmway, 10th Avenue, Indiana. They did all of those under a safety project. We're going to do the same thing here. We're going to put those out so they're at the ultimate location, so that when ITD actually comes in and does the five-lane road that they plan on building there, that we are not going to have to move those in the future, and we're requiring every developer to do that as well. It's fully our intent, and we're going to spend taxpayers' money that we're going to look in the future, and we're not going to misspend that money. Make sure that it's going to cost more money today, but when they come through and build that, then, you know, we don't look like, I won't say the word, you know, we're not spending the people's money right. I do not want to be involved in that conversation with any person when they come up to me and say, you just built this, now 3 years later you're rebuilding it again, how come? No. We're going to do it right the first time, we're going to get that built out. The one nice thing that we're able to do now is because ITD does not have this corridor under environmental, we can just do a really small environmental footprint of just where those signalized intersections are going to go. So they'll be much easier. The developer is estimating it'll take about probably 9 months to get these approved through ITD. Then when the development actually happens, then the developer can actually come in and build that light and get that done. So did want to let you know about that. Any questions on that?
Are they interconnected wirelessly to Sequence, or do they have EMS?
Sure. I cannot tell you. It's all ITD, and ITD will be doing the maintenance on it.
Okay.
So I really can't tell you. I do know that they do put on the connection so that when a fire truck or police comes up, that they have that button that they can press, which switches the lights. I do know that they have that.
Do they have that?
But I can't tell you as far as the connectivity between the two. I don't know how ITD works there. I can find that question out for you, though, and answer that.
It'd be interesting. It sure be nice. The technology's there, and to some extent, it really helps the traffic flow significantly.
It sure does, because there's nothing more maddening than you're stopped at a stoplight, you go up a mile, and you're stopped at the next one, right? And especially like here, when there's five in a row like that, you would hope they would be all sequential so that the traffic can keep moving, right? The old mayor of Middleton, Darren Taylor, he told me a very important thing one time that I never will forget. He said, 99.9% of the time when it's a red light, people stop. So that it forces them, right, to do that, right? Yeah. So, you know, there's always that, right? And so we know that it's an efficient way. However, if they're not in sync, it can be very efficient, or very, very, very inefficient, right?
Yeah.
This next one here, so this is a depiction of the, I call it the Northern Road. So HD4, looking at possibly three different routes. And this is to, you'll see them in, the one is in yellow here. That would be at exit 23 on 94. That's Purple Sage. The one in red is Galloway, and the one in blue is Grinson. What we're proposing to do is put an interchange in at one of those three, and then this will go over, and I don't know if you've driven up the I-16, but Val Nova already has part of the intersection, or part of the interchange in, sorry, on the eastern side of I-16 in this area. So it will join up there. We've met twice now with Compass, City of Middleton, City of Star, City of Eagle, ITD, Notice Parma Highway District, and ACHD are all involved in this. We've met twice now. The preferred route is the one in red, and that's why I put it in red, is the Galloway Road. So that would be a new interchange at exit 22, and then would come across. Now, the reason why this is shown in the dash line over here, this all is existing road, and then over here would be new road. So again, it's a dash line. It will move north or south, you know, depending on what the topography is, us being able to acquire that property. But just know that somewhere it'll come across there, and it'll hook up to the I-16, to the Belnova.
Is the City of Star aware of this?
Correct, yeah. So City of Middleton, City of Star, and City of Eagle have all been involved in these conversations.
Why is the Galloway one the preferred? Is it simply because it's a straight shot?
No. Once you get, so first of all, I want to talk about Purple Sage. So because of the amount of intersections that are already on Purple Sage, and with us needing
right
away in that area, that's why Purple Sage was taken out. So then we looked at both Galloway and Goodson. The problem with Goodson is that as you get further over here to the eastern side, the topography gets, Commissioner, it's just up and down like this. So to find a good route through there, that would be an inexpensive route, would be really, really tough. So that's a huge thing there. Galloway, as you mentioned, is kind of a straighter shot. We'll see what happens over, you know, in this eastern area, but right now there's, you know, there's a road that goes the majority of the way there. Plus, if you look at the interchange on I-84 at 22, that one there's already a bridge there, and it is all level. One of the bad things about Purple Sage, there's two developments that are already there.
There's a curve in the road.
And it's totally off. Like there's a huge fill there in that area. So that would be really tough. Again, up at the Goodson one, that's not a preferred route as well for an interchange up there. I'm not saying that it couldn't be done, but there was a huge structure that was built there a couple of years back, and it's right in the road of one of the legs of that. So tougher to do. So for all those reasons, we looked at Galloway as kind of gone to the top. Does that answer your question, Commissioner?
Yeah, I'm just thinking there's no shortage of applications for development in this area. How long until this starts getting more solidified so people know that one?
Yeah, correct. So that's why I've tried to push this as long. AC4 started this, and I've tried to push this as fast as I can for that reason, because I want to know what that road is so that we can come back to the commission and we can say we need a 80-foot right of way there, 100-foot right of way, whatever that is, so when developments come in and that we can get that on our maps solidified with those dimensions on there. Yeah, so that's a really valid thing. Building this across here, because this is an existing road, at least where the existing road is, will be fairly easy. The topography is not bad. Doing the interchanges, I don't know if you know much about that, but that's about a 4 or 5 year process. You have to do what's called a, I've lost it, interchange justification report, IJR, and they are years and years to do. Again, because of the price of those, it'll again have to be federally funded or something. We're talking probably $30-40 million to build an interchange there. Again, so that'll be huge. But in the meantime, we can start on the road, right? And we can get segments of the road built. Any other questions, Commissioner, on that?
Currently, does Galloway, I can't remember, so the possible exit 22 still is an underpass?
No, that's actually on.
Is that the dead end?
Yeah, on Galloway, it's a bridge over top of the I-84, but at where I-84 is, it's basically on grade.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then the last one here, that's, this gets to your question, Commissioner Van Beek, about the impact areas. What we have shown on here is the two different impact areas that we're that we have or are going for. If you can zoom out just a little bit, sorry. Thank you, it's kind of Aaron. So the one in green, that is the one that's currently in place, called the Mid-Star area. So that's between Middleton and Star and Canyon County. The one down that you see in light blue, that we're calling that the Cats area. So that's Caldwell, the northern and western parts of Nampa, and then as well, most of it's in the county also. So just so you know, we went in front of the DIFAC committee on February 24th, and we got approvals from them to move to P&Z next. We'll be going to P&Z on May 21st to hopefully get a recommendation of approval to get that move to your board. So just know that that's coming.
So that's out of DIFAC already?
Correct.
Perfect, okay.
Also know that the city of Caldwell, because it's all in this area here, has our city council has already approved that impact fee for their area. So we're just waiting to get in front of the board to get the rest of the area. I can't mention this too much, is that the last time when we had the Mid-Star area, and this is not anything against this commission, but it took a long, long time to get through here, and the reason why was because COVID happened. And everything went on hold, and it was months and months and months. And, you know, we do have it in place, thankfully, in the Mid-Star area now, but anyways, we're hoping to get that to the to you, to the Board of Commissioners, as quick as we can. So then we will have impact areas for our whole district in Canyon County. There's no other highway districts currently that have those in Canyon County, but anyways, we'll have our whole area covered. And, you know, I firmly believe in this, that new development needs to pay its way.
Mm-hmm.
This is a true way on transportation that new development pays its way. Every single house, every commercial building that goes in, industrial, all those things. So know that on housing, on a single family house or a mobile home or things like that, we have a set rate. And we are not going to do a separate individual assessment on those. However, any commercial or industrial that comes in, we within 30 days, have to give them assessment. So you may hear people say, oh, you know, they've assessed us $100,000. Just know that first number, we have to get that out to them. But we will do any group that wants us to do an individual assessment, and most of them will, on commercial, industrial, all those kind of things. We will do that, and we will get that done and make sure that it's fair for both groups. So just know that there'll be a lot of talk about that, and there probably already has been on certain ones. But one of the ones I point to is the Rocky Mountain fireworks. So that mm-hmm. that went in. You know, they built that new building there. Well, we had to do an assessment on that, and it ended up to be, I don't know, four or five times what they actually was when we actually did the individual assessment for them. But just know, we have to get that out by state law. If we don't, then we can't collect any impact fees from them. So we're going to get that number out to whatever group that is. However, please know that they can come back to us, ask for that individual assessment. We will get that done, and as I said, we will come to an agreement with them on those. So don't be worried that if anyone says it's unfair, it is not. It's truly not.
Yeah.
We will not do individual assessments on homes. We will not do individual assessments on mobile homes. There's no way. Those have a certain amount of transportation. Yes. One home may have more, one home may have less, but there's no way that we're going to do that.
Yeah. Chairman, can I make a comment? I really appreciate Bruce and his expertise. He was formerly with the city of Middleton and provided great leadership there, but now since he's moved to the highway district, this kind of collaboration with your city partners and county government, I'm really happy that we were able to have you in front of us today. This audio record will serve to the public as a memorial, information meeting on what's happening with transportation in Canyon County. We get complaints on what is happening, but it's a great move forward to have had Aaron Williams in with that impact fee, working with the numbers. There's a lot of interest in the Middleton area on how that's going to go forward. So I just really appreciate the partnership and the layout of plans. I have had opportunity to attend a limited number of those Pell meetings, but they've shortened the timeline on how long they can drag those out. And yeah, thankfully, but this is really great information and exciting for the public. This will save lives in our community by having those stoplights. And the other thing I want to say is I agree with your position, just at a very benign, non-emotional level, that development has to pay for that. That's what the public is asking for. Please have development step up and help pay some kind of a proportional share. The traffic lights are expensive. Cities don't have that kind of revenue because of caps at the legislative level. So to expect developers to put that in, I think that's the right way to do it. And again, I just want to say thank you for the work that you're doing and the integrity that you bring with it, the information that you've provided that will help us do our job and answer questions even before maybe some of those are launched on what's happening with transportation. This is a great document and a great conversation.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having us here, Board. You know, I'm hoping that, you know, at least once a year we can come in front
right.
of the board and present this type of thing. I think it helps all out. And as you say, especially with YouTube and people being able to get on these meetings now, it was funny. So I went to the City of Middleton meeting the other day, and there was about 60 people that were in the audience there, right, and speaking to, right? And to my wife, when I went home, I said, wow, I said, hardly seemed like there was anyone there. She said, there was 700 people online. She said, have no fear. Whatever you said, it got out to the people. So,
yeah.
You know, it was really nice to hear that and to know that, you know, because I know that not only the people that hear those things, they're going to pass it on to their neighbors and that as well, that weren't able to see it as well.
Yeah.
And as I said, please, Commission, we are here to help you in any way that we possibly can on the transportation end. As I said, I'll give you an answer to give back if people ask you a question, or if you give me their number, we will get an answer to them. But we want to make sure that people know that their questions are answered.
Yeah.
We're here. All of this work that I'm showing you, that was all paid by taxpayers and taxpayers' money. Those people out there, those patrons, are the most important people to us. They're the ones that make all this happen, and we're glad to do that.
Yeah.
With that, I'll stand for any other questions you might have.
So this is a general question. I do not have a specific land site in mind when I'm asking this, but when we meet as a board on land use decisions, we really need and rely upon you for a input on a land use application, especially the ones that get larger and larger, that becomes super critical. As we get ready and locked and loaded legally to do the impact fees, I think there even needs to be a statement that we're fully aware of this and this and what it could be, and they're in line to be charged an impact fee as soon as all of the details are worked out. Something to that kind of verbiage, I think, is it calms the angst of the public.
Sure.
And it's something that we can do as a co-political subdivision. The other thing is on the, whether it's Galloway or whatever the road is, as soon as you and your board are comfortable with really cementing that down, we really need you to step up and come in with DSD. And whether it's 100 foot or 120, I don't really care. You guys are the expert.
Right.
And get that in the documentation. So as we get these random permits come in, it's not like, oh crud, we should have remembered.
Yeah.
We got a major arterial going through there, and we really just don't have it yet identified. So in the interim, could you please put that in your review, even in the interim, that this section is going to be impacted by a future main arterial, and
yeah,
whatever that verbiage you feel comfortable with putting in. But we desperately need that here, rather than this board trying to figure out what's copacetic for a future arterial?
Thank you so much, Chair, and that will be done for sure. As I said, HD4 has taken the lead on this, as we have on a lot of these things that you've seen today, and believe you me, I'm not dropping no ball. This for me, it started about 3 or 4 years back. You know, people were asking us about, and I noticed that a lot more traffic, especially Purple Sage, our traffic has went up over the past 3 years over 35% on that one road, because people are getting away from Highway 44.
Yeah, they're going across the country on these upper roads.
So I totally agree with you. We need to get that cemented in and start working on it, and as you said, so that your board is fully aware of it and has that on, and as well, you guys have a roadway map as well, and you know, we'll get that codified on there as well, get that change done.
Another thing that I'm going to throw out, and this is going to be, I don't have any motive other than facts. It would be extremely helpful if there's a proposed application that I know that you used to have the equipment. I don't know what state of technology is in it today, that you go out there and literally put the lines across the road and you take a capture of 2 or 3 days, not hours, but days. And you do the traffic counts and you put that into your report. On July 23rd to the 24th, there was 3,000 cars, or, you know, the better traffic counters can actually tell the double axles and all of that, yeah, and put that statistical information in. You guys are the experts. You have the equipment. What we have is a bunch of concerned citizens, and I'm not being derogatory, nope, but they got kiddos or whatever, and there's thousands of cars. And there is, when your kid could accidentally walk out there and get clobbered. But if the highway district, in their response to this application, could say, we did 2 traffic studies on July and we did 1 in September, and these are the traffic counts. We didn't have anybody watch it, but these are the actual tires that went through on the road.
Yeah, and thank you. And we already do that, but we'll concentrate more to make sure that we have them up in this area as well, so that they're valid for today's count. The count I give you on Purple Sage, that's how I was able to tell you that, because every year we've been up there on Purple Sage and done that, and so we actually have the numbers. One thing that's funny, you mentioned like axles and things like that. So ours actually will tell you the fastest speed. Well, it'll tell you the speed of any vehicle, but the fastest speed and the slowest speed. And so the other day, it was Lansing Lane. There was a motorcycle that went down there, and I think it was 97 mile an hour. Mm. And so we immediately, you know, got a hold of the sheriff and said, you know, please go out there and, you know, put a patrol officer there, because someone had been driving through there. And I don't know whether that was a daily thing or just a once thing, but we have that information as well. So, and it is that I was. I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, oh, yeah, no, that's a real thing. Oh, yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
I've seen it with my own eyes. So that's what scares me. And for my area at Greenleaf, there's only one significant thoroughfare, which is Lower Pleasant. And we have people that are at high rate of speed, not stopping at stop signs, blowing straight through on those parallel roads to Highway 19, and we've already had several lives taken because of it, and it's not getting less, it's getting more, and it's just so troubling.
Yeah, no, that is truly, yeah, totally agree.
So thank you. Any other comments, questions?
I don't have any. I just appreciate you being here.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
You know, we have so many meetings, so I have to be fully transparent. It's like, oh, crud. High District 4 wants to have a meeting, one more meeting. But this has really been beneficial, and thank you for doing that. And I will attempt to do my best next year to not be derogatory and say, y'all come in, all right? Because it's always educational, and I think it helps us do better planning. And in the long run, we spend way less taxpayer dollars. We're just doing it once. We have a plan, and we're very intentional on how we're incrementally moving on the plan.
And also too, please know, you know, these are just plans, like a lot of these things. So if you have any comments or things like that, even, you know, away from this meeting, please let us know, because it's all valuable stuff. As I said, it's not just the patrons of the community, but community leaders that we need to hear from as well. You know, because it's very important that we get that feedback. Otherwise, we're going to go with what's on here.
Sure.
Leave you me, unless I hear otherwise.
Understandable. All right, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Thank you. I entertain a motion if there's any other discussion.
Chairman, I move we adjourn.
Second.
Motion's been made and second for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries. Thank you.
Double as night.